Let good and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever and ever and ever. Amen. Please take your Bibles and open them up to Esther chapter 8. We'll be referring there throughout the message. 8 and part of 9. The title of this morning's message is Beyond Victory, the Call to Spiritual Maturity. I don't know if you ever saw the video of this guy. It was some kind of, I don't know if it was Olympics or some kind of international meet. He was winning by so much, and he was near the finish line. He started celebrating early. And you'd never do that in track and field or any event, actually. And as he's jumping up and down, he's waving his arm, his opponent passed him right before the end of the line. He just started way celebrating before it was over with. Now, we do have victories in our lives, and that's awesome. But those victories are just a step in a bigger picture. And the idea of this, the big idea here is that we need to get beyond just victories in our life, the victory of our salvation, and we are called to something greater, spiritual maturity. Now, immaturity can be very dangerous. You know that, right? We see that with children and how children will do things that, you know, can make your heart leap. Like they're reaching out to the fire or the hot oven or the stove. Maybe you had one of your kids or grandkids or someone you know had that happen to them. They learn a quick lesson. A painful one at that. We had one of our kids was, for whatever reason, enamored with getting us to have to call poison control. This individual, I won't tell you which one, but she was involved. Oh, I'm sorry, I won't tell you which girl, but the youngest one, she loved for whatever reason to drink paint. I don't know why. I thought what we had was pretty good, you know. But more than one time, in fact, it was like two times in 2 weeks, I called the same poison control center and the same lady answered. We became really good friends. And then not long after that, she got a hold of some prescription medicine. I don't know how the kids do this stuff, but those kids' bottles, the only people they work on is adults. They don't work on kids, man. Them kids figure it out. And she had opened it up and she had taken, I don't know how many she'd take. How many of you actually count the pills in the bottle? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't. So we weren't sure, so guess who we had to call one more time? Well, she's just immature. She doesn't know what she's doing. Now that's funny for kids, but it's not so funny for adults, right? It's not even so funny for teenagers and young adults as well. Xerxes, he is like really immature. He gets persuaded way too easily about stuff. If you recall back earlier in chapter 3, he got talked into, hey, I got a great idea. What? What are we going to do? We're going to go golfing? No, let's wipe out the Jews. Hey, okay, let's do that. All right, let's go get something to eat. I mean, it's like, what are you doing? I mean, this is, he was so immature in the way he was so manipulated so easily. Let's just kill off the Jews. Well, the Jews themselves showed themselves to be immature as well. How many times were they in the wilderness? It was one time in particular where they had this great movement out of Egypt. Moses had gone up to the mountain and Joshua was up there as well. And they got a little anxious and somebody raised their hand and said, hey, I know God led us out of Egypt, but how? I got a great idea. Let's build a golden idol, okay, and we'll worship it. Yeah, let's do that. I mean, you're like, what? That's like kid and candy. Just come on here, let's do the idol. And they're like, okay, let's go. That's immaturity. It's horrible. It can be very dangerous for you and for me. We don't want to be there. But it happens sometimes. Immaturity can also be really ugly. I'm going to pick on adults on this one. So Dawn and I decided one Christmas when the season opened up on that, I don't know if they call it Crazy Friday, Black Friday, Green Thursday, I don't remember what it was. Whatever that night was, and it was the opening, and they're going to open up at midnight. So we said, okay, we'll try this cultural thing, we're going to go out. So we kind of took a nap, then got up around 11, 11:30, whatever, and we're going to go out there, and we went to the place. This didn't happen in Kokomo, so you're all safe. This happened in Elkhart, that wicked city up north. Just kidding, Mom. So we got there in one of the stores and we got inside. It was like a madhouse. People were sprinting because they had posted all these sales We literally saw people almost tackle each other to grab toys. Have you ever seen videos of those things? So we're watching this in real life going, this is just really crazy. Another word could be ugly. That's what they say in the South. Amen? That people can get ugly and they act ugly, and that's exactly what immaturity looks like. It's just an ugly picture. Well, look, in our text, in Esther chapter 5, 9 through 14, Haman throws a temper tantrum. It's exactly what he does. He goes, man, he didn't like me. He didn't bow down to me, and now I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to get rid of this guy. And he's just going up and down like this. It's just horrible to see. It's ugly. It's immature. And it's dangerous when people of position and power in politics or anywhere else, though voted on, are immature, right? That's a bad place to have someone in power. But nevertheless, that happens. And so here Haman was in that situation. I like the quote from Mark Twain. He said, when I was 14 years old, my father was ignorant. I didn't want to hang around him, but it was amazing. It was amazing. When I turned 21, how far along my father had come in 7 years. What happened? Well, his father didn't change. He matured. He matured and he grew up. And if you have been following or have ever read Esther, one thing is for sure. We're not seeing the same person. This is not of the Esther of chapters 1, 2, and 3. No. This is a new girl, a new young lady, a new queen. She has matured. She has grown up. And this is important because to be effective as a good queen, she needs to be mature. She needs to be able to understand what's going on and be able to make wise decisions for her people. She needs to keep on growing up. Well, there's several important lessons here that just pop out to us. One simply is that she sees and that we can see is that there's always going to be evil people in culture. There's always going to be that. We see this in chapter 3, verse 6, where it says, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. And there you have it. I mean, why does he hate? Why do people hate so much? I can't always explain it. James talks about it in chapter 4 of his letter, where people do things because of their own selfish ambitions, their own desires. And we understand that. But to have so much hate, I mean, I could maybe hate a person, but to hate that person, his family, and everyone is associated with, what does that take for a person to get there? But that's where he was. And she's learning. And it's important that she learns this lesson because she could have been easily distracted by all the hate coming her way and missed what she was supposed to do. A mature person is able to take all that stuff that comes. It's hurtful, it's wrong, but they're not guided by it. Let it go. And she's focusing, so she does. In chapter 8, verse 3, after the great victory, right? What did she do? She focused. Esther spoke again to the king. So she learned that even with Haman gone, there's still a lot of evil. I can't stop. But she also learned that there's always going to be evil laws on the books. It's always going to be that way. And we've seen this around the world. We saw it back in the early 20th century where Hitler was trying to, how can I get to the place where people will accept me exterminating people, these Jews that he hated so much? How do I get there? The only way he could do it was by redefining that they weren't humans at all. Which he did in a speech. He called them less than animals. And once he got there, then people could accept it. Because these good Christian German soldiers that are singing, "A mighty fortress is our God," that might be something you'd hear in a German church even today. They're singing that. How can they sing that on Sunday and then on Monday go and butcher all these people? Well, horrible laws, immaturity, ignorance, evil. There's always going to be evil laws unless we want to cast stones Oh, America has blood on its own hands. You know that, right? We have our own blood. I could go down and list one, but one that pops out is Roe versus Wade. Evil law. And we're still under it. Still under it. This is going to happen. And Esther is kind of learning and growing and maturing. She's not the naive little girl of chapter 1, 2, and 3 anymore. She has grown up. And she's taking these lessons in. And in chapter 7, she really gets this big victory. And we celebrate that. But she learns in chapter 8 is that there's always going to be more battles to fight. I mean, you might have a victory today, but I got news for you and me. Are you ready for this? You may have won the victory last night or this morning or whatever it is, but the devil is still alive and well, and he loves to come after you. And he'll wait for you to feel relaxed and proud of your victory and yourself. Well, the flesh does the same thing. We don't need the devil. Our own flesh can draw us away from the Lord. And so we have to be careful. And so she learns this lesson that there's always going to be an enemy in this world. That's just the way it is because we live in a fallen world. That's why Christ had to come to redeem us from ourselves. It's the only way we can get out of it. The only way we can grow and mature. So she didn't have any time to rest on her victory. She had to be effective. And this girl had to simply get and grow up in the Lord and grow up in Christ. So she did. She did. She grew up. And it's evidenced by her actions. Let's take a look. One of the things she does in verses 1 and 2 is she shows her maturity by giving honor to whom honor is due. She shows respect for Mordecai. It says that the king took off the ring and gave it to her, but Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. She said, you know what? All that you have done and all the advice you've given me, you could just see it in her actions. She didn't have to speak it. She honored her uncle that had brought her to that place and gave him that great honor and that great place. She also took the initiative as well. So that's how she showed maturity. Because she goes in verse 3 to the king. Now remember the last time she had to go to the king? How did she get there? She got there because someone was behind her doing one of these. You gotta go now. Don't think you're gonna escape what's gonna happen to the rest of us. You're a Jew too. And so she was being pushed and she had to. She hadn't matured yet. Look at this. No one tells her to go. She gets out and she goes to the king on her own. And you're like, yes, another step. She's growing up. She's doing the right thing. So she shows initiative. And that's a sign of maturity. We see that happening here. But she also shows great courage. Remember what might happen in this context if the king doesn't hold out his scepter to whoever comes in his court. Do you remember? That person dies. So she goes in, unless you think she was getting around that scepter. We can read in here that the king actually offered the scepter to her. That took great courage. Hey, there comes a time when you and I have to, by faith, step up and show courage. That doesn't mean fear is gone. I'm not talking about that. Things are fearful. Things can be scary. But courage is the ability to do the right thing despite fear. You talk about these heroes in war, and a lot of those guys, if you really get down to the ones that really are the heroes, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about themselves. They don't want to talk about the incident because in reality, they were scared to death, but they worked through that and did the right thing. Esther had to do that. She shows maturity because she shows great courage. And it takes courage sometimes for some of us to even get up. And to go to work some days. You ever have those days? And to face the day or to face what's coming on. But that's what God calls us to do, is to do just that. So she shows courage. But I love this part about her. She also shows great resolve. She is willing to finish the job. And if you read through all of chapter 9, you can see that so clearly. Where they weren't going to get done with this whole thing till the day was over. In fact, she even asked for an extension in one of the cities. And how the Jews were able to defend themselves. She finished the job. And if there's one thing that all of us love to see in our kids and our grandchildren, and even our own lives at times, is for us to finish the job. to do what we're supposed to do, do it at the right time, and finish the job. Those are signs of maturity, and we see this in our queen. I like what Paul does in Colossians 1 to encourage us in this area of maturity. It's so important for us to be effective in our own culture. It says this, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." He wanted us to grow up. Listen, you, if you are here today, and by the grace of God, you have received the salvation that comes through faith in Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, trusting in him alone. If you receive that, you have had a great victory. But it's not over. I know a lot of Christians, that's pretty much it. I got saved at camp. I got saved when I was a kid. I got saved when I was a teenager. I got saved when I went through this as an adult. And it was a great victory. And no one is discounting that. Man, we celebrate with you. We jump up and down. Woo, praise the Lord. We need some woo, don't we, Sam? That's what we need. But it's not it. Paul's making it very clear. Listen, don't just stay on the victory. There's so much more to do. Esther saw that. Mordecai knew that. The Jews knew it. They were on the other end of the rifle, so to speak. They knew the work wasn't done. So the day they heard it, they want to keep on increasing in knowledge and fruit, and that's what's happening here. So there's an expectation that we even read in our story today that from the first chapter to the eighth chapter, we're not supposed to stay the same. We're supposed to keep growing. We're supposed to keep growing. There was a great story that one of our small group people told it last week in small group, and I want to share it with you because I thought it was so apropos. He was talking about prayer of his grandson. Now, isn't it great when our grandchildren, our children, they get to the place where they can start to pray on their own? Isn't that fun? That's a great victory. That's a victory. It's okay to be happy about that. You can smile out there. So when people are learning how to pray, so it's like 4 years old. I think he's four, I'm guessing, around four. And they're about to pray and all their food's out. And he says, "Grandpa, can I pray?" And he says, "Well, absolutely, you can pray." So this is the prayer. Are you ready? I had to write it down. Oh, my goodness. I didn't write it down, but I remember it. All right. He said, "Dear Lord, I like my cobra. I like my peas. I don't think the chicken's very good. But I will eat my macaroni and cheese. Amen." That's a victory. Boom, there it is, right? We got through a prayer. We got the Father. We got the Amen. We got what he was thankful for. I love it. You know God in heaven is laughing his head off. You know, like, oh, this kid's completely honest. It's a good thing we're not honest at our friends' houses, or they're honest at our houses. You know, oh, yeah, I'm so grateful. I just love Brussels sprouts. Thank you, Lord. And liver and onions. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's so wonderful. Not, except for a few of us that actually might. I happen to be one of those weird people. So this is great, but how about that prayer for someone who's 20, 30, 50, 80? It's not cute anymore, is it? You see what I'm saying? Are you getting it? People sometimes, they get saved. They have something that happens to them, and maybe even this happens. Maybe even this happens. Maybe after their salvation, they get a Bible study or they get growing in service for a little bit. And that's all that's ever happens. And the only time you get spiritual interaction with them, they talk about the past. "Yeah, I remember back when so-and-so led a Bible study." What year was that again? Oh, 1964. Really? That's not growing. That's being stagnant. I am so glad you went through that study in 1964. I'm glad Jesus saved you. But we're called to do so much more. And some of the reason the church is not effective and we're not effective, we're not getting victories because we're not maturing the way that we should. And Esther's actions reflected her maturity. She wasn't just good at giving the Bible answers in small group or Sunday school. She wasn't just good at doing that. She was living her faith. That's maturity. And there she is. She's going. We need to grow up. We got to grow up. So Jesus, I love the story of Jesus, of course. He took the initiative himself, didn't he? Think about it. He took the initiative to come to earth. Sin, corrupted, infested planet. And it had a death sentence too, just like the people did here back in Persia. All the Jews had a death sentence. We had a death sentence. Someone took the initiative to come. His name was Jesus Christ. And he came and he showed great courage. He showed maturity and courage. He faced things. He stood up for what was right. He didn't stand up for what was popular, what his friends or his peers would say. He said, "This is the way you walk, walk ye in it." And he took flack for it, and people would mock him and ridicule him. But he showed courage and he kept doing it anyway, because he knew he was serving someone, something bigger than himself, his Father in heaven. And he showed great resolve. He showed great resolve. He finished the job. The Bible tells us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But he's not done. He's not done. He didn't retire after the resurrection. Aren't you glad about that? How many of us retire after we get a big, you know, we got saved with this big spiritual thing, but we're done with trying to dig deep in the scriptures because it's so hard. It's hard to grow up. I agree with you. Growing up is hard, especially spiritually. And if you get serious about it, you say, "Lord, I really want to grow." Get ready for the ride of your life. It's going to be great, but it's going to be tough, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be all of that, and that's what this is all about. Jesus didn't retire. Man, he sits at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for you and me right now. He's building a mansion for you and me right now, and he's ready to come back right now. And when the Father says it's time to go, those who've trusted in him, we're gone. Jesus didn't retire. We're not called to retire, ever. When I went to West Palm Beach and was called on staff there, I got to know a lot more people in the church because I had been in the Christian school only. So I moved over to the staff side after a few years. And I got to know this lady who had been teaching. This is about 1985. I believe she had been teaching since 1920 something. The same class. Junior high girls. She loved it. And I said to myself, "Whoa. Junior high girls? I had a few of those. Thank God they're out of that. But those are fun times too, though. Actually, they're one of my favorite groups." And I thought, "Lord, I think the race is to the end, right?" She got it. I imagine, I mean, if you watched her, you wouldn't think that, you wouldn't think a whole lot about her. You're just looking at her and how could she do that? Because she can't hardly move. I mean, she was well in her mid to upper 90s, I think, at this point. And she'd just get there early, sit down, and she'd open her Bible. And she'd gather all the little ducklings around her and share Jesus. It's not that hard if you're digging in the Word and loving on people. And that's what this is all about. Jesus did that for us. I see this here at Esther, and I'll ask you and I the question. Are you in the body? Are you in Christ? Do you know him? Are you saved? Have you trusted in him as your Savior? Because you haven't done that, none of the rest matters. You're just on hold until judgment. Man, you don't want to be on that wrong side. But Christians, are you growing up? Are you? Are you growing? Are you more deep in the Lord today than you were 6 months ago and last year? Now, I understand there's times when we have this kind of growth. And usually that's because we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. Things in our life that are tough, someone that we love dies, someone that we care about walks away, or anything, our own health, whatever. But those are great times. But there's a lot of times where it's like this. And you don't always see or feel it necessarily, but as a faithful steward of Christ, when you can look back on those years, how God has brought you along and grew you up. That's what this is all about. Being mature. Esther took it on. And she was put in a tough predicament. She didn't get a choice. And I would say this, I think it parallels life here. You and I didn't get a choice to be born. There wasn't a vote in heaven and you and I as spirit beings or something said, okay, I get to veto this. I don't want to go to heaven. No. We came here. Esther was thrown into this mix. What is she going to do? She's going to mature. It was her very maturity that God used to help save a people. Thank the Lord for mentors and mentees. Signs of maturity. Let's walk through that. For you and me. This is for you and me now. You ready? One thing we see here with her is there's a growing awareness of the true enemy around you. I think you're mature when you're able to distinguish what really and who really is the enemy. And sometimes we can get that wrong, you know. Someone that might be mistreating you or seeming like they're mistreating you might be actually doing you a favor. I told you a story when I got caught in the bees and they're crawling up, yellow jackets all up inside my legs, and my dad found me and he's just beating the tar out of me with a belt. And if you were driving across the road, you'd probably call, you know, the police or something. But he was trying to kill those bees. He was doing me a favor. Spiritually, sometimes that happens. You know, we can't always see things clearly because pain can really fog us up. But if you're able to have a growing and an awareness of really what's going on, how do I do that? By knowing the truth of the Scripture. By listening and following the voice of the Spirit of God. That's how we can grow in an awareness of our true enemy. Are you aware? Are you really aware of the true enemy of what's going on? Oftentimes it's the enemy. We've seen the enemy and it is us, right? It's ourselves. Another one that pops up is this. A resistance to remaining complacent. I love this about Esther. She didn't just sit back and say, well, you know, I did my part. I put in my 3 weeks of teaching Sunday school. I'm done. I'm glad Esther didn't say, I put in my 3 weeks of teaching Sunday school. I'm done. No, she said, here's the challenge. We got to deal with Haman. Haman's done with, but we're not done. There's a lot more to do. There's a lot more enemies out there. Lord, here am I. Send me. Is that our attitude? Is that our attitude? Do we have a resistance to remaining complacent? We don't want to do that. There's no room for complacency in Christian service. No room at all. Of course, there's this one that we see, a growth in knowledge and wisdom. She had a lot of help with that. There's nothing wrong with that. So if you have a pride issue and say, well, I want to do it myself, change that right now. God used Mordecai to help her grow up. In a lot of ways. I mean, he had a lot of years with her before this point and established the relationship. But she listened and learned and grew. Who are the people in your life that are building the knowledge of Christ and culture into you? And I don't care how old you are, whether you're 20 or whether you're 90. Are you growing? Are you growing? I love this about Esther. A practice to stand, a willingness to stand courageously for what is right. Man. See, to her, it was more than just sitting around the table with all the other queens and talking about what should be done. There's nothing wrong with that, except if it only stays there, I think that's wrong. For the Bible tells us, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We have a responsibility to stand up for what is right, and especially in this culture, and do it in such a godly way that it attracts even the lost. They can't even make an accusation, but it won't stick. Because we are courageously, with resolve, standing up for the right thing. Are you standing up for what's right? You're not quiet, are you? I hope not. But also, there's a resolve to never give up. Never retire. Never give in. Never quit. Esther never quit. She continued on. Mordecai, he got exalted. We see that in chapter 9. We didn't read the whole chapter. Mordecai got placed in a great position. Got exalted. And he continued on. That was quite the scene. There's so much that we've met. There's so much we didn't cover. But isn't it a great picture where he was in, sackcloth and ashes in one scene, and the next scene he's in king's royal robe? My friend, this is a picture of what happens to every sinner who is saved by the grace of God. We are in dust and ashes. We have nothing. We come to the cross. We throw ourselves. We cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And what does he do? He takes off his own robes and puts it on us. The righteousness of God. And the world will tell you and lie to you that you're no good. But if you're in Christ, you're a prince of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has great plans for you. And there's nothing that can separate his love from you, because you've got his clothes on. Mordecai never gave up, never gave in, never quit. And he was clothed with honor. Jesus Christ won a great victory for you and me. And he's calling us to grow up in that victory. I love what Paul says. Let us there leave the elementary doctrines of Christ, and let's grow to maturity. So what does this mean for you and me? Okay. All of us always struggle with things in our life that keep us where we shouldn't be. We might have to release some things, some practices, some thoughts, some harboring, some feelings that are wrong, or maybe we're angry. Whatever it is we're holding on to is keeping you from growing up. You're not going to be able to grow up if you're holding on all that weight. How many of you have ever run around a track before or down the road? How many have ever walked? Anybody walked? Okay, I'm with you. So I knew I was going to get everybody to raise their hands. We got a charismatic service going on here. They all raised their hands. Hallelujah. All right. So think about it this way. When we don't deal with these issues in our life as we ought to and release those things, it's like walking around with 100 pounds on our back. Now, maybe for some of you, that's fine for about 10 minutes. But at some point, you're not effective, you're not able to walk well, and you'll probably get grumpy along the way. God has called us to move on to the victory of salvation. We have it already. It is ours in Christ. He holds it. He holds our salvation. You don't have to work for it. It was provided freely. You receive it as a gift. And then you spend the rest of your life saying, thank you, God, by the way you live. And you grow up. You throw away the things that are meaningless and you hold on to the things that are good. And when you do that, as it happened here, the people rejoiced. They jumped up and down. They were glad, it says. They feasted. They had a holiday. And that's what will happen to Kokomo when God's people decide to grow up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to you now, we realize that we have such a great salvation in Jesus Christ. And Father, we want to thank you for that, but you've called us beyond that. You've called us beyond that to spiritual maturity. And the evidence and signs that Esther has helped us today to see in our own lives, just little markers, there are certainly more that you've given. But Lord, are we growing? And Father, so I pray for those who are watching and here this morning, listening, and I would just pray that you would work in our hearts. Are there things that we need to let go of? Things that are slowing us down, that aren't helping us. Not necessarily evil, but Lord, if they're keeping us from, they're entangling our feet and keep us from running our race well, help us to let go of those things and remove those weights that so easily can weigh us down and the things that can entangle us and let us run our race. Run our race because you've already won it for us. We must pick it up and run. That's maturity. I pray for those that are here today that may have never entered into a relationship with God. That only comes through His Son, Jesus Christ, as has been said. That they will turn from whatever they're trusting in, especially religion and church. That will never save them. But what will save them is the living, resurrected Son of God. May they turn and repent from their sin, their ways that they have trusted in. And may they give themselves fully and trust in you, Jesus, as their Savior, even now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and sing with me, please, this great chorus of the faith. And may God call it to mind that we run our race well. Why? Because of our love for our Savior.